morning. Ants are fascinating creatures. Due to their abundance and their ecological importance, they are common study subjects for community ecology. Now, competition has been touted as kind of one of the hallmark structuring factors for structuring ant communities. However, recent work has shown that many ant communities do not appear to be structured by competition, leading to investigation into other factors. Habitat heterogeneity has shown both positive and negative effects, depending on the habitat sampled, on ant species richness, as well as affecting other community structuring factors such as resource discovery and protection from parasitoids. One of the ants of particular interest to me is Tapenoma sicilei. This is a common structure invading ant. In fact, it's probably the second most complained about ant in the United States. They're usually polygynous, occasionally monogynous. They dwell in shallow nest sites such as in leaf litter, under rocks, sometimes in human-generated debris. And the thing that makes them fascinating is that in the woods, they're usually wussy, submissive little ants that don't have huge populations. But in urban settings, their populations absolutely explode, and the reasons for this phenomenon are not well documented. The objectives of my study were to first survey yards and variety of houses in the Knoxville area during the summer of 2005, and to investigate the relationship between habitat complexity, ant species richness, and Tapenoma sicilei abundance. We surveyed 24 yards, and in these yards I focused on three habitat types. First, the lawn. It's fairly heterogeneous, just a bunch of grass, occasional trees. Then, moving to more complex areas, we looked at far from house landscaping, which has a wider variety of vegetational structure and plant abundance, or plant diversity. And because we thought that near the structure there might be some changes, we also sampled next to the structure within 10 feet as well. We placed pitfall traps, 10 traps randomly in each of these habitat types around all our structures. Here's a picture of what our typical pitfall trap looks like. We let them out for 24 hours and then recollected them and analyzed the ants. In addition to information about ant species, I also measured habitat complexity directly using, I measured the foliage density with highly technical PVC pipe. And you just count how many times it touches a 2 meter stick. I used a densiometer to measure canopy cover. And around each trap, in a meter square, I quantified the amount of plant cover, litter cover, rocks, and other debris, and if there was leaf litter, I measured the depth. We found 48 species total. The most species we ever found at a house were 24. The least was 7, and the average was around 15. Our 5 most common, shown here, are Solenopsis molesta, Phidolia tysoni, Phidolia dentata, Tapenoma sicilei, and Aphenogaster rudis. The first thing I analyzed was I looked for differences in species richness between my three habitat types. So on the bottom, on the bottom here we have habitat type, and here I lost samples, they got crushed, we couldn't find some in the field, so I rarefied all my data first back to 7 samples, even though we only had 10, using a program called Estimate-S to correct my oversampled data. And then because we found a really strong effect of house, of the site that the data was taken from, I made a model of the house effect, saved the residuals from that, and used those residuals for this analysis. And as you can see, near house, the species richness is much lower than the far and the lawn. We see the opposite effect for Tapenoma abundance, and you have a much higher effect near a much higher abundance near the house, but about the same in far and lawn. So I got all excited. I said, is there a relationship between these two? Does ant richness have a direct relationship with Tapenoma abundance? And no, not really. I also wanted to see what the community composition was between these three habitat types. And so I used a program called Primer to generate Bray-Curtis similarity indexes, which are a unitless metric. That's why this graph here doesn't have any units on it. The dots will show, it graphs all your communities, and the clustering of the dots tells you how similar your communities are to each other. For example, the Far and the Lawn, they're all mixed up to each other. That means these communities are very, very similar. There's not a lot of differentiation. However, we have some, not completely dichotomous, but some branching off of the near house communities, showing that they do differ in composition. And a NOSIM test confirmed this. So, but what about all those habitat complexity things I measured? Well, we ran lots and lots of stepwise regression tests, and none of them had any effect. So what we know is that there is a difference between near structures and far from structures on both ant community composition and odorous house ant abundance. There's not a huge difference between these things out farther in the yard, even between landscaping and unlandscaped areas, and that habitat complexity, at least at the yard scale, does not seem to be the structuring mechanism for these communities. Where do we go next? Well, for community ecology, the issue of scale, and which is a frequent issue in community ecologies, kind of rears its head. Had I measured the effect of habitat complexity on a neighborhood level, because we saw very strong differences between our sites, I may have something different to tell you. However, we do have something to work with in terms of that structures may have an interesting influence on community structure. All we have right now is correlative data, so we need to start working on other mechanisms that may influence community structure on that level. For odorous house ants, once again, more focused on mechanisms apart from landscaping complexity. We have good evidence in the lab that odorous house ants will move part of their colonies to areas with high moisture or food availability. So this could definitely be a driving factor in increasing their numbers near houses. In addition, the structure could provide nest sites that are not quantified by the litter and debris around the houses, perhaps in the siding or the brick cracks in the bricks. Or it could be that changes in resource availability around the house have decreased the number of competing ant species, allowing odorous house ants to flourish. In any case, we have a lot left to investigate. I'd like to thank folks on my committee and the folks in my lab who helped me out a lot, all the homeowners who let me run around in their yard for a summer, and my family who occasionally stepped in to take data from me when I was very harried and tired. I would like to now open the floor for any questions.
Yeah.
I haven't analyzed the data. We send out surveys to all our homeowners and ask them how frequently they water their lawn, and I mean everyone mowed their yard about the same, and how often they planted annuals, that kind of thing. So I have that data, but I haven't incorporated it to my analyses. Yes. Within like about 8 inches to 10 feet. Near to the structure, for the near house habitat. For my other sampling, it had to be greater than 20 feet away from the structure. Any other questions? Thank you.